Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing where you are. Thanks for the great music, too. That just really makes worship a part of the experience, and I appreciate the gifts that you bring to the church. And thanks for having me and allowing me to come in and share God's word with you again today. Pray with me. God, take all of our thoughts. Take all of the feelings that we have. Take our sureness and take our doubts. Take our courage and take our fear. Use all of them. And I would pray that you would use the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me first say that my sermon today comes from an idea that I first heard preached by another pastor, the Reverend Amy Miracle. She's a friend of mine. She's a pastor at a church in Columbus, Ohio. I heard her preach a sermon, and she put this idea out there, and it captivated me. She was preaching on a different Bible passage. But I just want to give her credit. This is something that all of you who have been students and all of you who are students and all of you who do work, you always want to give credit where it belongs. And so I want to give credit to the Reverend Amy Miracle. She's a Presbyterian pastor in Columbus, Ohio. Fine preacher, too. The gospel lesson that we're looking at today comes from Luke's gospel. It's the 19th chapter, Luke 19. And we're only looking at a short part of Luke 1:19, verses 1 through 5. It's a really familiar Bible story. Luke 19, verses 1 to 5. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, come down. For I must stay at your house today." So ends the reading of the word of the Lord. Now, I remember this Bible story from when I was a kid in Sunday school. This is one of the favorite stories for teachers to get their class to act out. It's got a lot of action. And it's really easy to figure out who Zacchaeus is in the class, right? You take all the students, you line them up from the tallest to the shortest, and it's like, Zacchaeus. And you get to climb, and you pretend you're up in a tree. And I remember this story, even as a kid in Sunday school. These days, as a pastor, I usually look at the Bible a little bit differently than when I was in Sunday school. You kind of approach it in a more academic way. You study the history. You study the context of the scripture passage. But whenever I do that, I always in the end, I wonder, but where do I fit in this story? Where am I in this story? The location of the story, Jericho. Most likely, this is a few miles from the Jericho that many of us know from our Bible passages in the Old Testament. You know that Jericho, right? And they marched around and the walls came tumbling down Jericho. Well, this Jericho is probably near that one, but not quite the same one. And this Jericho kind of sits along this route between what we know to be modern-day Israel and Jordan. It sits along this major agricultural area. It's really rich in its soil and what it grows. Lots of agricultural products, fruits and vegetables, grow here. And it's along this major trade route, which means there's lots of people that come and go through here. Jericho, because of the agriculture, because of the trade, this is a perfect place to make money. And if you're a tax collector, even better. Jericho, at that time, was in a corner of the Roman Empire. Oh, the Roman Empire was big. This is just kind of in the corner of it. But anytime you have anything to do with trade or changing money or travel or roads, that meant you had to deal with taxes. And if you had to deal with taxes, you had to deal with Rome. Most of you are probably aware that at this time in Jesus' life, the people really hated being under control of the Roman soldiers and the Roman governors. Luke's gospel says that Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. That means he made more than anyone else there. Being a tax collector is enough for people not to like you. He was also a collaborator with the Romans. Collaborator. That means he worked with the Romans. Collaborators were always not liked by the local population. Every occupying army in history always used people in the local population to help with its work. Every army has done that. The Spanish did it in Mexico. The British did it in India. The Germans did it in France. The Japanese did it in Korea. The Americans, we do it in Iraq and Afghanistan. You use local people to do some of the work. And what happens is some of the rest of the population, they don't like those local people who are helping the occupying army. They're seen as collaborators. They were seen as traitors sometimes for helping the foreign army. So, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a collaborator with the Romans. You know, in Hebrew, his name, Zacchaeus, it means the pure one or the righteous one. Oh, you can see people just kind of roll their eyes. Zacchaeus, oh, the righteous one, right, working with the Romans. You add to this the fact that the passage says he was short. You know, I think all people in all times made fun of short people. We've always done it. I don't know about his personality. The Bible doesn't really say. He could have been a nice guy. But here's my guess. Growing up, they probably made fun of him because he was short. And then, as an adult, people didn't like him because he was a tax collector. And he worked for the Romans? Oh, they hated him even more. He's made fun of as a kid. They don't like him as an adult, but he's the chief tax collector, which means he has power and he has authority. You know, they say you should be careful around short people who are powerful. Hitler was short. Napoleon was short. What do they even, call it something, right? A Napoleonic complex. Now, Zacchaeus also was very resourceful. You can tell this by the very fact that he didn't give up. He wanted to see Jesus. Oh, there's a big crowd. I can't see. I'm going to go home. No, he doesn't do that. He says, I know what I can do. And he runs ahead and he climbs a tree, a sycamore tree, to be specific, climbs it in order to see Jesus. Jesus comes by, looks up and says, Zacchaeus, it's almost like the Price is Right. Come on down. I'm going to your house tonight. Zacchaeus must have come right down and gone home to prepare. As a wealthy person, no doubt, he probably had servants. We don't know. We don't know if he was married or if he had kids. The story doesn't say, but that wouldn't be unusual for a person of his stature. That was as me just studying the passage. And then I got to that point that I mentioned. I always try to figure out, where am I in this story? Where am I? Where are you in this story? And then I started thinking, what would I do? What would I do if Jesus were coming to my house for dinner tonight? What would you do if Jesus were coming to your house for dinner tonight? I could see it now. Honey, I'm home. Guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus, what? If Jesus were coming to my house for dinner, what would I serve? Steak? Lobster? Chinese food? Oh, I don't know about your families. In my family, whenever you have guests, don't you always make way more food than anybody can eat? Would that be right? Would it be right if Jesus were coming to your house for dinner and you made so much food and put it on the table? Would that be right for Jesus? Would you want Jesus to see how much we eat and how much we waste? Or would you say, well, no, Jesus, I remember, you know, he was a simple guy. I'll just make some noodles, just a bowl of noodles. And then I'll take the money that I would have spent on the steak and the lobster, and I'm going to give it to a homeless shelter. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, you do that. Would you tell Jesus? I mean, how do you tell Jesus without sounding like kind of a jerk? Oh, I was going to buy the steak, but I gave the money to a homeless shelter instead. Would Jesus like that? I know I'd clean up around the house, right? You'd pick up around the house. Jesus is coming. Come on, clean up. I'd probably go upstairs and shut some of the doors. I wouldn't want Jesus to go upstairs. I wouldn't want Jesus to go into my closet. I would hope that he would see all these rooms and not say, you gave the money to the homeless shelter? You have so much room here. Or he'd go into my closet and he goes, why so many pairs of jeans? You can only wear one at a time. And what would I say? Would you justify it? Oh, I got those on sale. Marshalls. I thought about how Jesus would get to my place. Would he walk? Jesus walked everywhere, right? You're not going to, if someone were coming to your house, would you make them walk to your house? You'd go pick them up. I'd go pick them up. I'll go pick up Jesus. He's in the car. And then what would he say? What are you listening to on the radio? Is that the kind of music you like? Jesus would ask, why are you in such a hurry, Joey? Why aren't you nicer to the other drivers, Joey? Or would he ask that question and really make you wonder, Joey, where are you going? You know, suddenly, I'm not sure it was such a good idea to invite Jesus over for dinner. I'm not sure that I would be that comfortable with Jesus in my house or in my closet or in my car. I don't want Jesus to see my shopping list or my credit card bills or for him to hear the conversations I have with people on the telephone. I'm uncomfortable because, you see, I know this Jesus. I've heard the words that he said. Well, wasn't it Jesus who says, why do you worry about what you eat and what you wear? Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. God takes care of them. Isn't God going to take care of you? Or isn't this the Jesus who said to the rich young man, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me? I don't know if I want Jesus coming over to my house for dinner. You would think that because I'm a pastor, that would be okay. You would think that as a pastor, I would, you know, be in good relationship with Jesus. I would hope Jesus approved of my vocational choices. But I also remember in the Gospels, Jesus was particularly harsh with religious leaders. What did he call them? Hypocrites. But you know, I really do want Jesus. I really want Jesus to come to my home. I want Jesus to be in the car with me. And I want him to be in my wallet. And I want him to be at my table. Because when Jesus is around, I'm a better person. I'm more generous with my time. I'm more generous with my money. I'm more generous with my feelings when Jesus is around. When Jesus is around, I'm less anxious. I'm less worried. I'm less afraid of what bad things are going to happen to me. When Jesus is around, I'm a better driver. I'm nicer to people. I'm more caring of my family and my friends. I don't see strangers as strangers, but I see them as children of God, just like you, just like me. When Jesus is around, you and I, we are kinder to one another. Our lives are more filled with grace and understanding. When Jesus is around, we care more about injustice. You know how that Zacchaeus story ends, don't you? Zacchaeus says after dinner with Jesus at his table, half of all my goods I give to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay them back four times what I owe. The Zacchaeus story ends in personal transformation for him. He is not the same person from when he was up that tree till after Jesus was at his dining room table. Everything changed for Zacchaeus. His values, his morals, his ethics, his economics, his lifestyle, his vocation, his goals, future, relationships, neighbors, family, community, it all comes into play and it all changes. In this encounter, Zacchaeus comes out a new person. His ability to care, his capacity to care is expanded, and he is transformed. You know what? I don't want you for 1 minute to think that after today, when you go home, Jesus is going to stay here at church. When you leave, Jesus is going to follow you. He is going to be in your home. He is going to be in your kitchen. He's going to be in your closet as well. He's going to be in your wallet, and he's going to be in your car. He's going to hear the conversations you have with your family and with your friends and with that checkout person at the supermarket. You came to church today. You came to attend worship. That's great. You made the effort. You were Zacchaeus. You climbed the tree. And now Jesus is saying, come on down. I'm going to your house for dinner tonight. Jesus is going to follow you home. He's going to knock on your door. When he does, I recommend you let him in. Amen.